This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in this. And now, let's join Bishop I.V. Hilliard. There is a voice, guide your way. Come with joy, fill me
fresh. Tonight. And I trust that you will stay with us for the whole matter. Everybody say the whole matter. You hope you'll be with us for the whole matter. There's something, it's an anointing on this teaching that's going to really bless your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you know the name of the person that's seated next to you? Take a few moments to find out their name. Amen. Real good, real good, real good. All right, let's raise our Bibles, give our confession of faith. Repeat after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, in Romans chapter 4, interesting passage. We've looked at it before. We're going to look at it a different way tonight. We'll pick it up there in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, watch this, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Everybody say he's able. All right, now, so what we're going to talk about tonight is the faith that considers not. The faith that considers not. Lord said to me end of last year, beginning of this year, for me to go back and teach faith like he taught me faith. And, when I was at a very low point in my life, God, and I was really kind of thought I was all out of it. And it's when God came to me and began to teach me certain aspects of faith. Now, I've learned faith principles and from many of the great faith teachers, but there are some things that God, through visitation of the Spirit, taught me personally. And so we're going to look at this lesson here, this aspect of faith that considers not. Because when you're going to walk by faith and you're in a desperate, destitute situation, you have to know how to consider not. It's easily said, but it takes discipline to do. And if you're going to really walk in the supernatural and experience supernatural things of God, you've got to understand how the devil will war against you with circumstances to get you to throw in the towel. But if you know how to consider not and hold fast to your faith, hold fast to what you're believing, you're going to be amazed at what God will do in your life. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to lay a foundation because, you know, I know I got a lot of veteran saints here and y'all ready for me to get right into the meat. And but we got a lot of baby saints who need the foundation so we all shout together. So as I go through this first part, laying the foundation, I just need you to be a little patient with us. Amen. And we don't get to that. We'll get to what you want. We get to that, you know, already know that. But faith does not come by having heard. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
By hearing. So as we're going through this whole process, you're going to hear some things you've heard before, but they're going to ring home a little differently. Amen. So now, when we talk about supernatural, we're talking about a divine intervention from the Lord. It may not be spectacular, but because of its origin, because God did it, because God moved things as he moves things, it's supernatural. Amen? So when I talk about supernatural things, I'm not necessarily meaning an angel came down and visited and that sort of thing. But the hand of God, the fingerprint of God, was definitely on the situation. So we look at Abram tonight and we see that he had been given a promise by God, a promise from God that he was going to have a child. He wrestled with this thing, and he was 75 when the promise was given, and now he's about 100 years old. 25 years and God hadn't delivered. Wasn't that God had not delivered? His faith had not produced it. And so because God is not moved by our need, he's moved. Now he's touched by our need, but he's only moved by our faith. Everybody say God is touched by our need, but only moved by our faith. All right. Now, so when I was in a very needy position, and y'all, you know, I told Lady B today, so I'm kind of tired of my little raggedy picture, but the Lord keeps telling me to use my picture. So, and it's making such an impact. So I'm ready for my first little raggedy picture. There it is. Everybody said, there it is. Yeah, I'm in a real desperate, dark situation there. And God, I'm a full-time pastor. I'm laughed at by everybody. And this is where God started teaching me faith. And one of the most important lessons beyond the believing aspect that you've heard me teach about is this lesson here. And that is the lesson on considering not. Now, I had a lot of negative. Of course, you can look at that and see that's a whole bunch of negatives. Yeah, man, I don't see nothing joyful about that place. And next picture too. So yeah, now that's the front of it. You see how wide it is. You got two cars there. It's not wide. It's two cars side by side. So it's a pitiful little place. That's my church. Next photo. Let's go on the inside now. Okay, you see on the inside that camera perspective is awesome, but it's about 50 chairs in there, but. That's probably my regular Sunday crowd. I don't have 50 people in there. And I'm a full-time pastor, and God's teaching me how to trust him. He's teaching me how to trust. Now, why is that so important? Because, you know, you may look at your situation and think it's real bad. And in the natural, it just may be bad. But it's not too hard for God. And as you see the journey that God took me on, you'll understand he's not a respecter of persons. And if he could do all that he has done in my life as a result of teaching me faith, guess what he can do in your life? That much more or better. Amen? The Bible tells us that we overcome by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, you know, with the technology that we have, we're able to enhance our testimony by taking you back so that you can actually see these things. And so it was here God began to tell me in that little building, God began to tell me that I was going to be a builder one day. He's beginning to tell me that that he was going to promote me to the forefront of what he was going to do in my generation. Now, you got to understand that that's kind of funny when God tells me all these things he's going to do because of what I'm looking at. I can't get 50 folk to come to church on Sunday. Yet God tells me, I'm going to raise your ministry up and people will come from far and near to sit at your feet to learn church growth principles. Now that's almost something to laugh at, because if they're going to come listen to me about church growth, I need to be growing. I need to be growing. But I'm not. Amen. I'm growing on the inside. Amen. 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 And so it's here when God told me, you've heard me teach it. It was in 1 Kings 17:1. God told me if I would do three things that he would bring me from the background to the forefront of what he's going to do in my generation. That's why he taught me this lesson. But the thing that I had to get beyond was looking at my circumstances. Looking at my circumstances because they were glaring. They were loud. How you going to do it, God? Anybody ever been like that? Where you've heard a word from the Lord, read a scripture out of the Bible, and then, you know, the whole thing was, God, how in the world could this happen? Go to Romans chapter 1, because we want to understand this philosophy of faith. That's what God told me, that I had to learn to live by faith. Everybody say, live by faith. Yeah, not to learn how to do faith, but how to live by it, because it had to become a lifestyle. So in Romans chapter 1, here the scripture tells us the just shall live by faith. All right, there we start verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall what? Live by what? The just shall what? Live by faith. So it's not something that you just, you know, haul off and do every now and then, but it has to become a lifestyle. Has to become a lifestyle. The Bible teaches me that without faith, I can't please God. I'm going to give you some of these as I keep moving, because if I handle every proof text, I won't get where I need to go tonight. But the Bible says without faith, I can't please God. So if I'm going to please God, I need to learn to live by faith. The scripture also lets me know that the promises of God are received by faith. Everybody say the promises of God are received by faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 so that I think we can really anchor this down. It says, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. So I received the promises of God because the will of God. And that's what God had me to know when I was in that little state, in that little raggedy building, that his will, though he revealed it to me, it would not automatically come to pass. It was a startling revelation to me, because I thought that God would do, because I came up in a culture that said God would do anything he wanted to do. So I'm waiting on God to do something, and he's not doing it, because he can only respond to my faith. Y'all got that? Look at the person that said God can only respond to your faith. All right, so when we look at the scope of possibilities through faith, number one, promises are received by faith. Problems are resolved by faith. Potential is realized by faith, and pleasing is reached by faith. Now, when I found out that in Romans chapter 12, you can go there with me, that my ministry would be a product of my faith. Praise the Lord. A product of my faith. And so if my ministry and all the things God promised me would come to pass, it would be relative to the development of my faith. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, a proportion of faith. In other words, he said that the gift would manifest based on faith, based on faith. So I understood then that my faith was important. So I like to call a little raggedy building there that was on West Montgomery Road. Everybody called it Termite City. I like to call it my University of Faith, because that's where God taught me how to live by faith. All right. Now, faith is a very dynamic term. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. Very dynamic term, because when you're thinking about faith, you're thinking about saving faith. I get saved by faith, saving faith. Then there is submission faith. Everybody say submission faith. That's when I'm just submitting myself to the word of God. God says, do it, and I do it. I'm not a confession or anything like that. That's what happened to Peter. Jesus said, just launch out into the deep. And when he, nevertheless, at that word, he submitted himself to the word. It was an act of faith, and because he acted on it, things happened supernaturally for him. Then there is surrogate faith, where I'm able to use my faith on the behalf of others. I use my faith on behalf of others. There's also special faith. Everybody say special faith. All right, special faith. Now, I need my next photo, because special faith, or the gift of faith, is what we find in the Bible, that supernaturally God gives us faith. Now, those are some construction pictures. Did y'all pass my collage? I think y'all passed my, back it up. Yeah, that's the one right there, right there. Been able to build because I have the gift of faith. When God gives me a building project, he gives me supernatural ability to believe. That's special faith. Everybody say special faith. Yeah, special faith. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And when it comes to building projects, and many times when it comes to praying for people specifically, there's an ability to believe. And it's just, I can't explain it. It's a gift of faith. And I have the ability to believe beyond what the circumstances look like. So when God told me I was going to build, now the gift of faith is just totally, it's totally different. I mean, it's something that God drops in your heart, and I can believe. Now, you can go to the next photo now. And so when we go through all our construction, next photo after that, we've been able to build. When we got in this building, it took the gift of faith to get in this building. Yeah. Especially when it came down to the end, we were a week for getting in here, and it did not look possible. If I had not known how to consider not. Well, I thought you said it was the gift of faith. It's the ability to believe, but it does not negate the process of faith. See, remember, the believing is only part of it. You follow me? When I'm going to faith, now we're going to look at the mechanics of faith in just a minute, but the other aspects of it, of the faith process, you have to stick with it. And so, first of all, to dedicate this building mortgage free to acquired faith. Yeah, I had to consider not. I mean, because we had several million in the bank when we got started, but, the construction folk went through that real quick. No, they went through that real quick. And of course, you know, I didn't come in and cry and beg because that ain't faith. I didn't need sympathy. I needed the supernatural. And we would go from week to week. Church never knew it because, you know, we weren't trying to get sympathy. We had to have the supernatural. And so when we ran out of money, I didn't go, oh, God, we're out of money. No. I had to consider not. Everybody say consider not. Yeah, some days we just came and we didn't have any construction folk out here because we didn't have the money to pay them at the end of the week. We just swept the concrete. We just stayed busy. But at the end, everybody say at the end. At the end of the day, at the end of the time God told me, we came in here just like he said, mortgage free. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Everybody say the gift of faith. All right. With the gift of faith also, we are the strategist conference. I told you about how God told me. Now, that's next picture of the strategist conference where thousands of pastors come. I have a gift of faith for that and the ministry to pastors. And the next picture, please. Next picture. They got a couple of photos of pastors. Isn't it amazing that pastors come by the thousands with their leaders from all over the country? Since we've been doing it, we've had over 100,000 pastors and leaders who've come to our church. Now let's go back to, let's get to the next photo, because it all started with this in this building. Next photo. Next photo. It says, no, that's not the photo I want, but we can rest there. I really wanted to go back. What they got there? Yeah, that's the one I wanted. Yes, that's where it started. That's where it started. Now, so there, God taught me systematic faith. Go to Mark chapter 11. Everybody say systematic faith. Yeah, y'all real smart. I'm moving down the road here on this. Systematic faith. Now, this is for the babies, because I know a lot of y'all go, well, come on, Bishop, we know that. All right. Now, remember, if I had done that when you got here, you wouldn't know what you have. So let's. Verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Everybody say systematic faith. Now, when we understand the practice or systematic faith, it's based on what Jesus taught. Amen. And here's what Jesus says. Number one, it's an asking. Everybody say asking. I call it the ABCs of faith. Asking. And I ask the Father in Jesus' name. I ask according to his will. All right. So I'm asking. Everybody say it's asking. Prayer is the launching pad for systematic faith. It's the launching pad for systematic faith. Secondly, it's believing. Everybody say believing. Yeah, believing. I must believe, the scripture says, I receive when I pray. Not 2 weeks from now, but at the moment of praying is the moment I believe that I receive. Now that's a spiritual transaction, because I got to understand everything that God has promised me already exists in a spiritual form. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. And so when I'm asking, I must believe that what I'm asking for already exists and it's on its way to me. Everybody say, it's on its way to me. Yeah, whether it's healing, whether it's a car or whatever it is, my need, my desire, it's on its way. Amen. It's on its way. Now, God says, watch this, he will supply all my needs. So I got a promise that I should never have a need. I want that to soak in. I got a promise that I'll never have a need. He said he'd supply what? All my needs. So I have a promise from him that I'll never have a need.
That's right.
Then he says, watch this. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not
want. Amen. So God will supply my needs and give me what I want. Some of y'all can't handle that right now. All right. Everybody say you got to believe it, got to believe it. Then the scripture says, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So that's the confession part. I must speak in agreement with what I am believing and praying. I must speak in agreement with what I have believed and I'm prayed. I must say in agreement with that. Now, what does that mean? I believe I receive my house. I believe I receive my car. I believe I receive every need met in my life. That's the confession. Confession is a statement in agreement with the word of God, regardless of your circumstances. Amen. Everybody say ABCs of faith. All right. Then the next thing is the demonstration. That is my demeanor. It's what I do now, because the Bible says faith without works is dead. So I have to have corresponding action that goes along with what I have prayed, goes along with what I am believing, goes along with what I'm saying. Everybody said corresponding action. All right, now we're going to see when we talk, when we began to talk about how consider not that the devil will fight you at every level, because he will shine the light on your circumstances to intimidate you in believing, intimidate you in speaking, and intimidate you in your corresponding action. All right, now. When I'm in faith, and you need to get this, when I'm in faith, I have five basic expectations. Number one, I'm expecting God to give me a plan of action. Plan of action. Number two, I'm expecting God to give me wisdom. That is the correct application of knowledge that I have. Number three, I'm believing for favor, for God to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. Number one class was what?
Plan of action.
Oh, that's good. Number two?
Wisdom.
Number three?
Favor.
And number four, I am believing for miracles, something supernatural that cannot be explained. Amen. Amen. We believe in miracles, right?
Amen.
You need to believe in one before you need one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, so number one class is what?
Plan of action.
Number two?
Wisdom.
Number three?
Favor.
All right, number four?
All right,
number five is strength to endure until change comes. Strength to endure, because faith is not magic. Amen. And so you're going to have the strength to endure until the plan of action comes, until the miracle of manifests, until the favor manifests. I need strength. Everybody say strength. Now, in the lesson, we see how Abraham was, how he, the Bible says he was strong in faith. Well, how was he strong in faith? Because he gave glory to God. Amen. See, I get strong in faith as I glorify God. Now, that's going to mean something when we get down to it. But you see, this kind of strength I'm talking about, you can't get out of the gym. This kind of strength you can only get as what you were doing just a few moments ago, giving glory to God. Don't know how God's going to pull what he said he's going to pull off, but I'm glorifying because I know he's able. Everybody say, I know he's able. Hallelujah. All right. Now we're ready to get to some of the good stuff. Amen. When I'm in faith, when I'm standing in faith and living by faith, I will be like Abraham. I'll have to face some negative situations. Everybody say negative situations. Yeah. Now, if I go back to a little termite building, no, we call it Termite City. They call it Termite City because all them little holes y'all see on the side, That's termite holes. Yeah. We couldn't paint it because there wasn't nothing to paint. And you didn't want to bump up against it because it might fall. Now, I'm there in God, and that's where I get the revelation on prosperity. And, of course, my natural mind is really fighting me, because I don't know any preacher who ever overcame something like that, because I had been at a big church, had a big church fight, and that's where I was. So my natural mind could not even, you know, conceive how I'm going to be prosperous. I didn't know any preachers who'd ever gone through that who were prosperous. But the Lord had me to understand that I had to consider not what I thought. so that I could embrace the truth of his word.
Hallelujah. Now let's look at this. Go with my Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I had to buck the arts. I had to learn how to believe beyond my means. I had to learn how to hold fast to a confession. I had to learn how to, watch this, not be in denial, but how to deliberately believe. Jesus. If I say deliberately believe, deliberate. Yeah. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter, what did I tell you? Chapter 10. Let's look there in verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God to the, what? Pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Everybody say every thought. So I had to learn not to trust the thoughts that I brought into the kingdom of God. Now when we get saved, the old thought pattern that we have, we bring that over into the kingdom of God with us. And that is why our minds have to be renewed. Amen. Now watch this. And if you don't watch it, your renewed mind will revert back to how it was conditioned. No, seriously. Your renewed mind, you can walk in faith, live in faith, and if you don't, so the Bible says, keep this word in your heart. Well, he wouldn't tell me to keep it if it wouldn't go automatically stay there. You understand? So it's not going to automatically stay there. So he says, you got to keep it. And a lot of folks don't understand. They don't understand that. And because they have some success in faith, they think they got it. I got it. But I'm telling you, if you don't stay on point, your mind will revert back to what you got delivered from. You start thinking as though your mind was never renewed by the word. You're not consumed with what the word of God says, but you start accepting statistics and stereotypes. Yes, somebody, some professional tells you something and you go, oh, really? No, serious. I say it all the time. And so your faith can't work when you don't know how to consider not. Amen. Your faith doesn't work. It cannot work in an environment where your renewed mind has reverted back to what you were delivered from. Amen. He preaching good even though we ain't getting him. Amen. All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 because there is a war. The devil does not want you to live by faith. He wants you to live by your feelings. He wants you to live by your conditioning because he cannot keep you out of heaven, but he wants to keep you from experiencing heaven here on earth. Glory to God. Amen. And see, I'm telling you, we'll talk about how your mind will revert back. See? Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I listen to people talk and I can tell where their minds are. Like, well, one guy said, I didn't get as much water in my house as I expected. So you were expecting something. No, you were expecting. Your faith was on the line for some water to come in. Why didn't you use your faith to believe all the water will stay out? Are you listening to me? Who says your lifestyle has to cut back when you reach the age where you want to restructure your life? Who say you got to cut back and now you got to start, you know, living on peanut butter? No, you can't go to the nice restaurants anymore because, you know, I'm on a fixed income. Who fixed it? Now, I'm telling you, believers who have been in the word a long period of time, and now because, and I'm going to show you what they didn't do, and now because their minds have reverted back, their conversation has changed.
So just because your mind can be renewed doesn't mean it does not need constantly renewing.
Amen. All right, now. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts are thoughts, and that's what we're going to be teaching on, thoughts. How thoughts can pull down. Thoughts can contaminate your thinking. Because to consider is not denying. To consider is to deliberately think about something. And we're going to learn that considering not is not denying, but it's being in a place of strength, of faith, where, okay, I know what you said. Okay, I know this is what it is. But in spite of that, everybody say, anyhow. Yeah, anyhow, I'm going to believe. I know that may not be good English, but that's what it is. It's that attitude. I'm going to believe anyhow. Amen. All right, watch this. Watch this. Woman with the issue of blood. Everybody say, anyhow. Doctor says she couldn't get any better. She was growing, she was getting worse. You know, wasn't supposed to come out the house, but she came out anyhow. Four men bringing their friend to Jesus. And the Bible says they got there and the conditions were bad. They couldn't get in the door. But they said, we're going to get in there. Anyhow. Amen. Peter, with his miracle, Jesus allowed Jesus to use his boat. After Jesus uses his boat, Jesus says, okay, launch out into the deep. Peter goes, wait a minute, I'm a fisherman. The best time to fish is at night so the fish won't see the nets. This is a preacher. He don't know about fishing. He just started his ministry. Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, anyhow. Everybody say anyhow. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. All right, watch this, watch this, watch this. Joshua and Caleb, they go over to the promised land. 10 spies come back with a negative report. There are giants over there. City's walled up. Now, Joshua and Caleb didn't come back and say, they lying. Ain't no city walled up over there. They lying. Ain't no giants over there. They lying. No, they came back and said, there are walls, cities up there. Yeah, the giants are over there. We be well over able. Let's go. Yeah. Look at the person that said, I'm going to believe anyhow. I'm going to believe. Woo, glory. Amen, amen. Jesus was a woman who had the issue of blood. After Jesus ministered to her, she gave her testimony. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because his daughter was at the point of death. And while the lady was giving her testimony, somebody came from Jairus' house and said, don't matter, don't trouble Jesus anymore. Let him go on about his business because your daughter is dead. Jesus turned to her, to him, and said, you know, keep believing. In other words, believe it's going to happen. Three Hebrew boys go through the fire. Just talking about people who had to consider not. I mean, because it's a natural form. It goes with walking by faith. Is that you have to get to a point where you're going to believe. And I'm going to show you why you're going to believe anyhow. So you won't just be spouting it off. You know why you believe. You know why, even though circumstances are speaking loud to you against what you're believing, you know why you can believe. Yeah, anyhow, yeah. Amen, amen. Three Hebrew boys. Kings, I'm going to throw y'all in the fire. If y'all don't bow, you're going to burn. They said, we ain't going to burn. We ain't going to burn. He said, I'm going to heat the fire 7 times hot. I don't care. Our God is able. Everybody say, anyhow. Yeah, all right, y'all got that. Now, here's the point. Oh, y'all such a good class. I'm really excited about y'all. I need my next picture here. Because I'm not trying to put anybody down because I got to a place. I need Jensen picture, the picture on Jensen. I got to a place. Now, you got to understand, from the Termite City building, a little raggedy building, to that building required a lot of faith. Ain't nobody happy but me. Y'all don't understand. I had been from one raggedy storefront to, y'all saw the inside of that other little building?
Come on, don't act like I was up. Now, when I'm there, I'm rolling. Next picture. Come on, let's see the inside of it. Oh, no, I'm wrong with that picture. Back up. I don't think they got the inside. My fault. Give me the outside of the Jensen building. That's good enough. And, of course, y'all saw it on Sundays. You know, I had pews. Stained glass windows. Y'all seen the stained glass windows, don't you? Now, when I got there, I'm finished. You know? And that's when God let me know, I didn't bring you here to stop. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying many of you have experienced faith working in your life. God's not going to invest all of that and then let you say, well done. Everybody say much more. No, you got to understand that's much more. You've been through too much. He's invested too much in you for now to let you sit on the sidelines. Now, that's the mistake I almost made. I almost made that mistake there because I was looking at how well I had done. God said, that's not at all where I want you. But it required faith. Now, to get there, I had to consider not. Because we were going through a tough time in our church when we got that building. A very tough time. In fact, I had a foreclosure letter that the bank had sent me. Yeah. I mean, right before we got this building, I got a foreclosure letter. And the bank said, because, you know, you can't keep, you know, it takes a lot of faith to be a pastor. Because, see, I don't have no contract with any of y'all. Y'all can say, hey, praise the Lord, we make all these bills, and then you leave, go somewhere else. Go to Rem Pharaoh's church. I can't go over there and come back and get you and bring you back over here. I got to believe God, amen. And so we'd gone through a season where people had come and they'd gone, and boy, I tell you, people weren't giving. And so, man, we couldn't pay the bills. I can't make up money. Could make no money. And so the bank had given me this letter and said, hey, if you don't bring the bills per current, then we are going to start a foreclosure procedure on you. We had some land that was for sale. And I'm telling you, it looked bad. But faith, everybody say faith. Faith considers not. Now, I didn't know how I was going to get out, but I knew I was getting out. Amen. I was seeking wisdom I thought that, you know, we went to church one Sunday because I'd asked Dr. A.L. Patterson what I should do. And he just told me, he says, I never had that problem. So, you know, then he told me, just go glorify God. Go church Sunday and just glorify God. Just give him praise. Don't even tell the people about the problem. That sounds like the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. I need to tell these folks. I need to raise some money. He said, now, go ahead and just glorify God. I went that Sunday. I glorified God. I can't wait till they finish counting. And when they finished counting, it was regular. It wasn't a dime extra. I had to consider not. But when we were praising, God was setting some things in motion. So then God spoke to me. He says, now, go and buy this building. So we said, now it's time to buy the building. We've been believing for the building. In fact, we had even marched. God had me march the folk 10 miles from where we were. I mean, we did a 10-mile walk. In fact, I got the pictures of it, too. We did a 10-mile walk from the little storefront building we were in over to that building because God said, I tell y'all, if I had lived some of this stuff, I wouldn't believe it either. I could see something else. Yeah. And to take the building over there, we had this, we call it the walk of faith. Amen. Now, we don't even own the building, but we walking. I had to have some real good members back then because I got some real good members now. Amen. Because we're doing some extreme things. Everybody say extreme instructions for extraordinary intervention.
Yeah, and so we had a little, one of our members had a RV. We call that the poop mobile. When you get tired, you go RV, the RV is following slowly. We was passing our tracks all along, witnessing the folk, getting them saved on the way. And then when we got there to this building, miraculously, it was open. Nobody was there. It was open. So y'all know we had to go in, don't you? They could have got us breaking it in. But we didn't break in. We just went in. And we had prayer claiming it. Jesus' name. You understand? Touching all the pew. So when God tells me, now it's time to go out of the building, we go there, and the guy tells me, and the lady tells me, it's sold. It's already sold. Like she got joy out of telling me, because I've been there so many times to say, it's already sold. Everybody say, but consider not. Because I knew what God told me. Amen. So every victory comes with a consider not. Everybody say, every victory of faith comes with a moment of consider not. Okay, let me get to the next picture. That's a picture of the bus. Y'all heard my bus picture, my bus story. Now, we bought those buses. Y'all heard the bus picture when I bought the bus from Buda, Texas? Who hadn't heard that? Who hadn't heard it? Who hadn't heard it? Okay. All right, listen. All right. Just an amazing story now. Because we in the little blue and white building, the little raggedy building. That's where we are. And I'm driving one day, kind of, we've been in faith for a bus because we want to have a bus ministry. We're in faith for a bus. And I Bridget was working somewhere because I went took her to work. Yeah, I took her to work. And on my way back, God said, go and turn into this bank. Now, I'm not even dressed. I'm not even dressed. You know, back then, you need to dress up and go talk to the banker. You know, right now, you can go any kind of way. But back then, you need to be dressed up. You know, I need to look like a preacher. But now I just got my street clothes on. You got it? And the Lord says, go in. So I said, I'm going to go home and dress. He said, go now. So I turned around and went back into the bank. Everybody said, consider not. I had no credit. I had no money. See, who said? God can't move unless you got credit. Now, I'm going to talk about flawed criteria. The reason many people cannot get a move from God because they have a criteria to set their will to believe that ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. And I'm not putting you down. Abraham did the same thing. See, when God comes to Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis, he tells Abraham, that's when he changed his name to Abram, and he changes Sarai's name to Sarah. He tells them, you're going to have a child. Abram's response was to laugh. Like, oh, God, you serious? He said, how you going to do something with a man old as me and somebody old as her? What old got to do with it?
Come on now, that's good.
This is God talking. Are you listening to me? I'm saying now, so a lot of times you have criterias for believing God has nothing to do with. So I turn in there, I go in the bank. God says, now you ask for the president. I asked for the president, and the lady told me, president's not here. Would you like to see the other person who's handling his business? Yes, I would. I sat down with the guy, explained what I needed, and he started smiling. I told him we had a bus ministry, we needed a bus. He started smiling while I'm talking to him. I'm wondering, why this dude smiling at me? Then when I finish, he tells me, he says, I'm the bus captain at my church. Let's see what God can do for us. Now, if I had considered, I don't have credit. If I had considered, I don't have money. If I considered, I'm not dressed properly, I would have missed it. Are y'all getting this now? Okay. It's about obeying God, doing what God says. And so I go in there and I talk to him and we find the bus and I'm getting ready to sign the papers. And the Lord says, that's not the bus. So I don't want to appear flaky with this man. You know, the man has gone out his way. He's financing the entire amount of the bus, 100%. I mean, doing me a favor, had not checked credit, none of that kind of stuff. And I can't sign it because I heard God said, that's not the bus. So he saw me having trouble. He said, Pastor, what's the problem? I said, man, listen, I am not flaky. but right now I got a little check about signing. He said, no, don't worry about it. He said, take a couple of days if you need. No problem. So I go back to the church and this guy calls me on the phone from Buda, Texas. And he says, hey, preacher, I met you. And he told me when he met me, he says, I kept your phone number. He says, I got a deal you can't refuse. I said, what's that? He says, listen, I got a bus. And if you'll buy this bus, I'll paint it. And then I'll give you another bus. I said, huh? And they told me the price. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, I'm not kidding you. I said, well, where is Booty? He says, right outside of Austin, Texas. I said, listen, I'm going to catch a plane. And I'll be there. You know, I called him back, told him, he said, picked me up, took me to the bus barn. That was beautiful bus. They painted it, put our name on it. And the bus you just saw was the bus they gave us. That was the free bus. I told the staff today to get me a bus, but I didn't tell them which bus to get me. But now maybe I'll be able to show you because the other bus was seriously nice. You got it? But I had to consider not. I'm just trying to show you, you see. Had I considered, and listen, I called the bank from Buda, Texas and said, listen, you won't believe this. I'm in Buda, Texas. He said, Buda who? I said, I'm in Buda, Texas. I said, and I got a bus. And I said, it's bigger than the bus that I was looking at buying. It's cheaper than the bus that I was looking at buying. And on top of that, he going to give me another bus. He said, put him on the phone. Let me give him drafting instructions. See, if you don't bail out, you'll see a move of God that will amaze you. Everybody say, if you just don't bail out. Yeah, because, you know, it can get rough. It can get tough. It can get tight. It can get difficult. Watch this. But God is still able, Jesus. Yes. Ooh, yes. All right, now, so then, let me ask this question, because a lot of folks say, well, listen, what's the difference between that kind of faith and foolishness or presumption? When should I respect my circumstance and understand I may not be in faith? That's good, isn't it? That you got circumstances facing you. Now, how do I differentiate between, you know, me standing and me understanding that I'm not in faith and this ain't working? All right. Go to my next picture. I'm going to show you something because. See, when I'm in this building, and that's why I never tell pastors to shut down their church. I can't, because you saw me there. You tell me shut that baby down. I had a whole lot of folk tell me shut it down. I mean, my pastor came there one day and looked at it and, you need to shut this down. I said, now listen, pastor. Now I'm in faith. I said, listen, pastor. Don't talk about my church. I said, if you talk about my church, I'm going to leave you in here. I'm in faith, you understand? Well, now Jesus put them all out when they were at Jairus' house. He wouldn't let them contaminate his faith. He had to put them out. Now I can't put my pastor out, but I'm going to leave him standing in there. So he kept talking. I left him in there. Got in my car and said, lock the door when you leave. But see, here's the point. Because see, you would say, if you saw me there and you saw I didn't have 50 people on Sunday and I'm full time and you can't understand how I'm making it, you would say, you just need to consider, boy, ain't nobody coming to church. Now here's the point I want to make. Question is, when does ignoring circumstances cross the threshold into foolishness and presumption? Here's the first point. When there is no sustaining manifested favor of miracle while you're waiting. Jesus. Did y'all hear that? Now, next picture. Now that is Dr. C.L. Jackson. You say, well, why is he so important? Because he was my favor. Oh, you understand? Now I'm waiting
But now God put me on his heart. So every Monday morning I had breakfast with him. And what he said was, I'm believing for my love offering to take care of me and you. Amen. See, while my faith is working, see, then now he's my backup. Amen. So when my bills need to be paid, he paid my bills. My light bill need to be paid. We didn't raise enough money. He said, what did you need on Sunday? I told him, he said, how much short are you? And I told him, and he, boom, boom, boom. What do you and Bridget need? And I tell him, boom, boom, boom. Then he said, you need a little something in your pocket. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. I have my little roll. So my family is not going hungry. Watch this. Are you listening to me? So I got a right to keep standing because there's y'all get this? There's manifested favor while I'm standing. All right, number two, where there is no compromise of integrity on your present course. In other words, you don't have to lie, you don't have to steal, you don't have to do anything ungodly while you are standing and considering not. Number three, when when you have an indisputable word from God. Everybody say indisputable word from God. Yeah. When you've got a word from God to deny the natural course of things. Did y'all hear me? I hope y'all hear me. You got a word from God to deny the natural course. If you don't have a word from God to deny the natural course of things, you have to follow the natural course. All right, let's say something going wrong in your body. Natural courses go to the doctor to see. Now, God didn't tell you to go to the doctor, take yourself to the doctor. Now, I'm believing God. No, you need to go to the doctor. If the Lord didn't tell, are y'all listening to me? I'm believing for me. I'm believing for the Lord to take care of me. Well, get your job. Did the Lord tell you not to get a job? See, I had a word from God, Jesus. They got pastors all the time when they hear my story, my testimony about, you know, how I was full time and that sort of thing. And then they want to do the same thing. I said, but I had a word from God. God supernaturally met my need. So I consider not. Everybody say consider not. All right. When that sustaining favor, when God is sustaining your life with favor, when you don't have to compromise your integrity, when you got a word from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, go back to Romans chapter 4 because we got to wrap it up. Y'all been so good. Did you learn anything tonight? Amen. Yeah. Now tomorrow we're going to be talking about my thinking because I'm going to show you how to process your circumstance and yet stay in faith. I'm going to show you how to do that. All right, watch this. Now here's what we see with Abraham. He had to cultivate this level of conviction. It just didn't come automatically. Because had it come automatically, it wouldn't have taken him 25 years to get there. So you have to understand, it takes some cultivation. And so I want to show you how to cultivate this. So as you're going from one level to another, you know, this thing is not as difficult as it once was. You follow me? See, let me stay with Abraham so I can wrap it up. All right. Number one, and you might want to write this down. He considered the calling over the conditions.
Amen. Yeah.
In other words, he considered that God called him the father of nations.
Right.
Over the condition of his body. Everybody say calling over condition. All right, now, here's how you have to make this relevant to you. He's called you into his kingdom. And the word, there's a calling on your life for success. You just say, well, I just hope I can be. No, God wants you successful. And you got to consider that over your condition. You may be way over your head in debt. Jesus. You may not even have a job now and nobody won't hire you. But you've got to consider not. Don't you change what you are believing because of your condition. Everybody said, don't change. Don't change. Don't change. Don't change. God called you healed. Not healed because of what the doctor says. I'm healed because of what he says. The calling trumps
the condition. Amen. All right, number two, everybody say the calling trumps the condition. All right, go to my last pitch. Ooh, quickly, click with the last pitch. That's the first jet we bought. Everybody say first jet.
Amen.
Don't y'all start hating on me now. Now, when we bought the first jet, now, first of all, that's just amazing for me. Oh, God, a jet. Yeah. It amazed me when God told me to believe for one. God told me to believe for a jet. God told me to believe for a jet. Jet wasn't even on my radar. My dad ain't having no jet. Yeah, I didn't grow up in a neighborhood where everybody's father had a jet. I'm saying, you know, jets, that's foreign to me. God tells me, son, I want you to get a jet because you'll need one to keep up with the schedule I'm about to give you. I'm arguing with God. God, wait a minute. Hold on. Ain't nobody inviting me. No, I got maybe one, two invitations a year. But, you know, Delta, Continental, they can get me that. So I'm really arguing. But the calling trumps the condition. The condition was, ain't nobody calling me. I ain't got nowhere to go. How am I by a jet ain't got nowhere to go? That doesn't make sense, does it? But it makes faith when God tell you to do it. And so put the picture of the jet back up. Put the picture there. Yeah, that's the first little jet we had. I signed the papers on the jet and the phone started ringing in 1996 and it hadn't stopped. Everybody say the calling trumps the condition. All right. The next point is has to be a consciousness of covenant over circumstances. Everybody say consciousness of covenant. That's the promise over the circumstances. Yeah, I'm staying conscious that I got a promise from God. Everybody say, I got a promise from God. Number three, he had a consistent confession of change. He started saying what God said about it. He started calling himself, I'm father of nations. Even though he had to consider not that he was old, consider not the deadness of his partner, the deadness of his partner's womb, the participation of his partner. He had to consider all of this not. Consider not. Everybody say consider not. Now, what does that mean? Consider not means, watch this, I have deliberated over the facts, but I deny them the right to dictate my outcome. Everybody say, I deliberated. We'll talk about it. Yeah, I process. It's not that I'm in denial. It does not exist. Not exist. No, he has to exist because he said it. But he's calling himself Abraham, which means I'm father of nations. And he was consistent with it. I'm father of nations. And it took him only 1 year after he started confessing it. Number four, watch this. He communicated his confidence with open celebration. Bible says strong in faith, giving what? Giving what?
Glory.
Say that, giving glory to God. Yeah, he giving glory to God. And then watch this. He had confidence in the character of his creator. He says, and being fully persuaded, watch this, that what he had promised, God promised it, he was able to perform, Jesus. Are you listening to me? See, that's the thing. What God promised he'd make you the head, not the tail.
Yeah.
He didn't promise. God promised. Everybody say God promised. And what Abram was focused on, he wasn't focused on anything but what God promised. Watch this. And he says, God is able. Everybody say God's able. God's able. Boy, you need to get a little attitude. Y'all, I wish I could have taken you back into capsule in time. You talk about a boy had an attitude back there. I had a serious, cause folk wasn't believing me. You know, I started processing that little bill and they said he's selling dope. No, serious. They said he's selling dope. I think I was driving a Mercedes and Lady Bridget was driving a 525 BMW. And they said, oh, he got to be doing something wrong. He got to be. Because see, church folk is funny. They do all this God talk. Don't believe it. But it don't matter if they don't believe it.
What matters is that you believe. You don't change your confession. That's the boldness that you have to have. I close with the story did y'all get anything out there? Story of a man was driving down a country road one day with his children in the car, and his children had this allergic, they would have a very negative allergic reaction to insect bites, especially a bumblebee. And while they were riding down this country road, a bumblebee flew in the car. The kids were hysterical. They were all screaming because they understood if we get stung, we could possibly die. So they were all in a rage. The father reached out and grabbed the bumblebee in his hand, and then he let it go. And when he let it go, they start screaming again, all except one of the children. One of the children was unnerved, while the rest of them were screaming and frantic until the bumblebee flew out the window. Then they asked the little boy, "Say, why did you see the monkey?" "Yeah, I saw it." You know what the doctor said? If we get stung by the bumblebee, then we could die. We have that kind of, you know, allergic reaction to insects. He said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "But you wasn't alarmed. You didn't scream. You wasn't like the rest of us. Why?" He said, "Oh, I saw Daddy grab it, and Daddy let it sting him. And a bumblebee can't sting but one time. So when he let it go, it was making noise, but it couldn't bother me." That's what you got to understand about the devil. He just making noise, but nothing shall by. Come on, talk back to me. Hurt you. Amen, amen. So with that said, I'm going to prosper anyhow. Amen, amen. I'm going to go forward anyhow. Amen. I'm going to finish school anyhow. I'm going to walk in health anyhow. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a shout. Now, Father, we thank you for this word that is full.